The Canto 3, Chapter 13, The Appearance of Lord Varaha, where the prayers are offered by the great personalities from different Swarlokas or different heavenly planets. Those are from Janaloka, Tapaloka, Maharloka. So all they are glorifying the Lord Varaha when he appeared. So last time we have seen that Lord's whole body is nothing but different plates of offerings that they use it for a sacrificial process. So further he says, Dikshanu janmo pasada shirodharam tvam prayani yodayani yadranshtraha jivva pravargas stavashirashakam kratoho satya vasatyam chitayo savohite. Moreover, O Lord, the repetition of your appearance is the desire of all kinds of initiation. Your neck is the place for three desires, and your tusks are the results of initiation and the end of all desires. Your tongue is the prior activities of initiation. Your head is the fire without sacrifice as well as the fire of worship. And your living forces are aggregated of all desires. So Lord here considered or called upon as Yajna Murti. So he is a personification of a fire sacrifice. And that's why his different limbs of the body, they represent the different aspects and different limbs of fire sacrifice. Then there are different kinds of fire sacrifice, they are performed. So that is also none other than the Lord himself. So what are those? That has explained in the next verse. Somastureta savananyavasthitihi Sansta vibhedastava devadhatavaha Satrani sarvani sharira sande Tvam sarvayajnyakraturishti bandhanaha. Then these great sages, they say, O Lord, your semen is the sacrifice called somayajna. Your growth is the ritualistic performance of the morning. Your skin and touch sensations are the seven elements of the Agnishtoma sacrifice. Your bodily joints are symbols of various other sacrifices performed in the 12 days. Therefore, you are the object of all sacrifice called Soma and Asoma, and you are bound by yajnas only. In the Purport Prabhupada, he explains about Agnishtoma. He says there are 12 different yajnas, they are performed in 12 days. And what are these? Like Agnishtoma, Atyagnyoshtoma, Ukta, Shodashi, Vajapeya, Atiratraha, and Apotroyamaha. Anyone performing such a yajnas regularly is supposed to be situated with the Lord, because Lord is none other than the yajna himself. But anyone who is in contact with the Supreme Lord by discharging devotional service is understood to have performed all different varieties of yajna. Do you remember any words from Bhagavad Gita which relate with this particular reference? Bhakti Shastri is.
Vedeshu adneshu tapasu chaiva daneshu yat punya phalam varishu.
The last verse of 8th chapter, where it is explained that if someone renders devotional service to the Lord, if he is engaged in the devotional service of the Lord, that means he has already performed all yajnas, he has given all the charities, he has performed all the pious activities. And ultimately, that's why he is performing devotional service. So next verse is very important, because there it has explained that how one can attain their lordship. Who is that who can attain their lordship with particular qualities? And what are those? That has explained in the next verse. This is
Namo Namaste Akhila Mantra Devata Dravyaya Sarvakratave Kriyatmane Vairagya Bhaktyatma Jayanubhavita Jnanaya Vidya Guravoye Namo Namaha.
So they are saying, O Lord, you are the Supreme Personality of a Godhead and are worshipable by universal prayers, Vedic hymns, and sacrificial ingredients. We offer our obeisances unto you. You can be realized by the pure mind, freed from all visible and invisible material contamination. We offer our respectful obeisances unto you as the Supreme Spiritual Master of knowledge in devotional service. So the qualification of bhakti or devotional service to the Lord is that the devotee should be free from all material contamination. That's the first line of purport. How one can attain the Lord? Vairagya, bhakti, atmajaya, anubhavitaha. What that means? If you want to see their lordship, then you should have three qualities. One is vairagya. Vai means which is not. And raga means attachment. Someone who does not have any attachment for the material things, he is called as a vairagi. So if you want to see their lordship, the first qualification is you need to be vairagi. You should not get attached to any material things. The next one, atmajaya. Atmajaya means, in Sanskrit, sometimes atma, this word is used for mind also. So, atmajaya means who has conquered his mind. Is there any verse in Bhagavad Gita also where Lord says that? Which one? Yeah? What's the next? Exactly. Paramatma Samahita. He has attended the Lord. Who? Jitatmanaha. Who has controlled or who has conquered his mind. Jitatmanaha, then that person becomes? Prashanta. Jitatmanaha prashantasya prakrushta ritena shantaha. Who has attended a peace? Who can attain peace? Who has conquered his mind. So the second qualification is atmajaya, who has conquered his mind. And then he says, anubhavitaha. Perceivable by the conquering the mind. Lord is perceivable when you conquer your mind. And how one can conquer his mind? Yeah, that's the way. Abhyasena tu kaunteya vairagyena guhyate. You can control, you can conquer this mind by abhyasa, constant practice. Practice of what? So what are those?
Hearing, chanting, remembering, serving, praying, being a friend.
Navavida Bhakti. Ninefold devotional service. As Maharaj Prahlad, at the age of 5, he has explained. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakhyam, Atmanivedanam. If you perform, if you practice this devotional service, then it's possible to conquer the mind. In Vibhuti Yoga, the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, do you remember mind is compared with whom? What's that? Among the senses? Who says that? So, mind means who? Among the senses, Lord says, I am the mind. So do you think you can control mind? Huh? There's a nice verse in Padyavali where Rupa Goswami Pad, he says, he prays to their Lordship. Oh my Lord, Hayan Ahur, my mind is like a wild horse. How many of you know that, how they tame the wild horse? Have you seen? You must have seen, maybe in movies, or because in our time we never had that movies even. What they do?
They have two cowboys that put hoops around him, and they have to discipline him for, it takes a long time. And the horse is, you know, it's a wild animal. It's resisting all the efforts to bring it under control.
So, Rupa Goswami Pad, he is comparing this mind with a wild horse, which is uncontrollable by any means. But there is one simple tact by which you can do that. They take a noose, they tie around the horse neck, and the other end of that noose is tied to one peg. Then what happens? That horse keeps running around that peg, and at the end it gets tired and it stops. So as that wild horse get controlled by tying it to the peg, so Rupa Goswami Pad says, this mind, if I tie at your lotus feet, then it's possible to control that mind. And that's why in each and every chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Lord has explained about engaging mind in His service. If you see all the chapters, if you read it carefully, you will find at least one verse where the Lord says that you engage your mind in me. There are different words that He uses for the mind. Sometimes chitta, sometimes atmanaha, sometimes chetaha, sometimes mana. But He always says that one should engage his mind in the service of the Lord. And that is Mayeva Mana Adhatsva. Manmana Bhava Madbhakto. Mai Chetasaha. So like that, you will find different verses in Bhagavad Gita where it is clearly indicated that if you want to render devotional service, you need to put your mind there. Otherwise, that's not possible. Because unless and until your mind is clear or clean, it's not possible to attain their lordship. As Lord says in Padma Purana, Nirmalahi Manak Krishna. If you want to see Lord Krishna, then your mind should be Nirmala. Mala means contaminations. Your mind should be from all sorts of contaminations. As Prabhupada, he translates in this verse here, he says that Vairagya means pure mind freed from all visible and invisible material contaminations. So what are those material contaminations? Can we list them down? What are the visible material contaminations of mind?
Six anarthas
visible? Gross and subtle, in other words. So what are the gross things that contaminates your mind? It's very tough to understand that. But to list them down is tough because mind always tricks you. That's the way the mind works. Anything that you think, oh, this is what distracting me from Krishna, then immediately it will give some reason. No, no, no. This is how you can use it in Krishna's service, you know. That's the way mind works. So it is said that anything that takes you away from Krishna, which is visible, that is the contamination. And generally it is called as a Vishaya. Vishaya means object of sense gratification. Vishaya is deadly than the Visha. Visha means poison. To get the effect of poison, you need to drink it. But if you just think about the object of sense gratification, you get poisoned yourself. Is that true? That's the invisible way of contaminating your mind. So thought of sense gratification is none other than the invisible contamination of mind. So who is freed from that? That person is called as a Vairagi. And that person can anubhavita, he can see the Supreme Personality of a Godhead. Seems to be very easy, but when we start working on it, it becomes really difficult. Because you are really going to the roots to uproot that thing. And when you go to the roots, it really becomes difficult to uproot that, because you really understand that how much it has entangled in different ways. And that's why it is said in the scripture, don't try to get away from that, but just cut it off. Chindanti, cut it off. With what? With the acts of knowledge. And which knowledge? As it here explained, the jnanaya vidya gurave namaha, the knowledge which is imparted by the Lord Himself. That knowledge will destroy the knots, the entanglement of a mind in this material world. And that's why these great sages, they are praying their lordship. We offer our respectful obeisances to you as the supreme spiritual master of knowledge in devotional service. By seeing our sincerity to get rid of this, what they do? Lord sends someone And his mercy personification is none other than the spiritual master. So they come and they give you the knowledge by which you can cut down this entanglement. Lord himself says in Bhagavad Gita 10th chapter, text number 10th, he says, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam tadami buddhi yogantam tenamaham upayantite. Those people who are sincerely engaged in this endeavor, he says, I become compassionate on them and mercifully I give them that knowledge in their heart. He ignites that knowledge in the heart, or he gives that intelligence through which one renders devotional service to the Lord. Because devotional service is the only one way, it's the only one means through which one can get rid of this material entanglement. In the next verse, it says, Danshtragra kotya bhagavastvaya dhrata virajate bhudhara bhu subhudharaha yata vanyasita sarato data dhrata matanga jindrasya sapatra padmini. Now it is explained that how by the touch of Lord everything becomes beautiful. O lifter of the earth with its mountains, which you have lifted with your tusk, is situated as beautifully as the lotus flower with leaves sustained by the infuriated elephant just coming out of the water. In the Purport, Prabhupada says, the fortune of the earth planet is praised because of its being specifically sustained by the Lord. Its beauty is appreciated and compared to that of a lotus flower situated on the trunk of an elephant. As a lotus flower with leaves is beautifully situated, so the world with its many beautiful mountains appeared on the tusk of the Lord Boar. When Lord Varaha, he lifted that earth and again kept it in its own orbit, so it is said that she looks so beautiful. So anything that which comes in contact with the Lord becomes beautiful. Why is it so? In the fourth canto, it is explained, the Lord means Sarva Saundarya Sangraha. Reservoir of all beauty and pleasure is none other than the Lord himself. So whatever comes in a contact with that, don't you think it will become beautiful? If you put anything in the fire, it turns into? First turns into the fire and then it turns to the ashes. Don't go directly on the ashes. First it turns into the fire. So whatever comes in contact with the Lord, it becomes beautiful. So Mother Earth with mountains on her, actually mountains are beautiful, that's why people, they go around the world to see the beauty. So these beautiful mountains, they become more beautiful when they got touched by Lord Varaha. So we'll stop here and we'll continue on next Saturday. Shri Varaha Bhagavan ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Grantharashramad Bhagavatam ki. Thank you very much.